Hi, welcome to episode 25 of the Tag Teamers podcast, going over everything from AEW Dynamite last night, had Jeff Jarrett versus Bryan Danielson, Swerve playing a role as well after the match, Mercedes Moné, Camille, another squash match for her, and then of course MJF beating Kyle Fletcher. What do you want to start it off with?
Yeah, let's start right with MJF, Kyle Fletcher. I mean, this is two of AEW's top stars under 30 years old. They put on a great match. I think Kyle Fletcher, he's going to be a star in the future. I think, you know, if he can continue to put on matches like this when he gets these opportunities, this is great for him.
I was going to say exactly what you said. He just looks like a star to me. Fantastic match. He is kind of a wannabe Will Ospreay in a way, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. He fits perfectly with him. Great match. Fletcher he's really got it all, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to be a major star, I think. I think MJF really helped showcase Kyle Fletcher's strengths here in this match. I think, you know, with just him playing the chicken shit heel, getting out of the ring, saying he's only going to wrestle him if he locks up with him, and then immediately goes low on him. Like, that's great stuff. I liked MJF's gear quite a bit, you know, still playing to the American Championship stuff. Even the flag coming down, when his face is on the stars, that gets me every time.
His tights were like if a New York Yankees player was a wrestler.
Yeah. And another thing, too, is, I mean, at the end of the match, we see MJF beating down Fletcher, but Ospreay's obviously locked in the room, and he can't get out to make the save. I'm going to assume that that's probably Don Callis, and I think eventually, pretty quickly, we're going to get Fletcher and Don Callis to turn on Ospreay, and we're going to get Fletcher versus Ospreay. That's kind of direction I'm expecting.
Do you think Don Callis was the one who locked him in the room, you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. Whether that's, you know, one of those things where eventually Fletcher will find out or not, I'm not sure, but I kind of think this is the way to get Ospreay away from Don Callis, because, I mean, Ospreay has no business being a part of the Callis family. You know, it's a heel faction, and he's one of the top baby faces. I think, you know, we need to get him away from that anyways. It just doesn't make sense for his character. Do you think that this match did a whole lot for the story? Because for me, it actually kind of didn't. It didn't really elevate this match for me.
No, not at all. I don't think anything from this show really did for any of the matches, honestly. I mean, while this was a good match, I enjoyed the match. It didn't elevate the Ospreay match or anything. I feel like it was kind of just like a poor man's preview of what the Ospreay match will be like in a way. And it just helped showcase Fletcher. But other than that, no.
Yeah, I don't think AEW did a good job on this episode of Dynamite to build All In. You know, we're less than 3 weeks away from your biggest pay-per-view, and there was a whole lot of nothing happening. I think, you know, especially with these big-time matches, they need to be heating up right now, not cooling down.
Yeah, it was practically just a repeat of last week, and if anything, it was a lesser version of that.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Even, I mean, yeah, he leaves Fletcher bleeding. MJF leaves Fletcher bleeding. But as you said, that's all about that match. That didn't really elevate the Ospreay aspect for me. I mean, obviously, Ospreay makes the save and gives him the hug. He's got the white shirt, so you know he's going to get the blood all over him. So, you know, it'll fit as a good visual within the video packages, but it doesn't actually do anything in the moment.
Yeah, it just adds a little bit of Ospreay, you know, wanting to avenge his friend's beatdown, but that's about it.
Yeah, it doesn't really do a whole lot. Another thing that didn't really do a whole lot is the whole Mercedes Britt Baker thing. I mean, we need these two in the ring together cutting promos, not, you know, one's on the screen, one's in the ring, having that weird interaction. They need to be going face to face.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Rhea Ripley Liv Morgan thing, but I feel like it's just not being done as well. And I mean, I get, you know, we need to build Camille up and have her just demolish everybody in her path, I guess. But yeah, it could be done better.
Yeah, the difference with the Liv and Rhea thing is Liv is scared of Rhea, so naturally she's running. You know, that's kind of what's going on. These two don't have this dynamic. It's they think that they're better than the other. You know, at least that's kind of the story. So I feel like with that kind of that kind of dynamic, they should be just going face to face. I mean, and I don't think these, promo segments alone are doing Mercedes any favors. I think this is really showing her weakness on the mic. And I really think, I mean, Britt is one of the best talkers in all of AEW. She should be out there working the crowd. I just think this is a massive mistake by AEW.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, she's just as confident as Mercedes is. That's the big difference between those two and then Rhea and Liv. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, and I mean, Camille getting wins, yeah, it builds her up, but she's not the one wrestling at all in. So it's not really doing a whole lot for the match. I mean, I'm sure she'll play a factor in the match, but, because she squashed random people, 3 weeks before, doesn't really add a whole lot when she's just going to be standing outside the ring.
Right.
Bryan Danielson, Swerve, do you feel like that match got elevated either?
No, not whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I mean, Bryan Danielson, Jeff Jarrett, they had a great match for, what Jeff Jarrett can do at his age. A no DQ match, I think, was smart because, I mean, he's pushing 60. Obviously, he can't go in the ring with Bryan Danielson technically, so he can hide behind certain things with the weapon spots. So it was a good match, but, the main event of All In doesn't feel any more intense because of this match or this story.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, this just felt like a real filler show.
Yeah, which you can't really be doing less than 3 weeks from your biggest pay-per-view.
Yeah, even Swerve coming out didn't do anything either. The Swerve exclusive with JR didn't do anything. Honestly, none of it accomplished anything. But it was a good match with Jeff Jarrett, and that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I won't complain about having Ricky the Dragon Steamboat on commentary, Jeff Jarrett getting his flowers, by being able to wrestle in the main event, but I mean, we got a pay-per-view to sell. We got a stadium to fill. AEW runs one stadium show a year. We need to be building these stories. We need to make these feel important. If you want this to be on par with WrestleMania, you need to have, big moments, big stories, and whatever happened on this episode of Dynamite did not accomplish any of that.
Yeah, it didn't accomplish anything at all. I don't really think. Jeff Jarrett, Hangman, you want to cover
Yeah.
that?
Yeah, I do you how do you feel about it being an exclusive, after the show? Do you like that aspect? Do you like things just to happen within the show? Because obviously not everybody's going to see the Hangman Jeff Jarrett brawl because it's released on YouTube and Twitter and things like that. Some people, as soon as the show's over, they're not going to Twitter or YouTube to see what else happened.
Oh, so an exclusive means it's just on YouTube, that's it.
Yeah.
I don't get the point of that.
Yeah, I guess maybe just extra content. Also, maybe the aspect of just to keep you talking even after the show's over, another big thing. But I feel like it's not good because if you want people to be invested, as I said, not everybody's gonna watch that. It's not really linear with the television show, so it kind of just people aren't gonna be invested in the story if they don't see the full story.
Like, is it even going to turn into a story, or is it just this standalone thing that begins and ends with that exclusive and then doesn't carry over into anything?
I would imagine it'll carry over. I'm not sure if we're going to get Jeff Jarrett versus Hangman at All In. I feel like that's kind of a weird place to put Hangman. But obviously, Jay Lethal helped Jeff Jarrett a little bit. Maybe the direction is Jay Lethal versus Hangman. But even then, like, Jay Lethal just kind of feels like a background dancer. Maybe they'll run some sort of tag match to protect Jarrett, again, pushing 60. They don't want him probably in one-on-one matches on pay-per-views. So maybe we get something like that. But yeah, I would imagine that this will tie into All In some way.
Okay. Why is Hangman even attack Jeff Jarrett?
He's had a lot of issues with him, going back to the Owen Hart Foundation tournament because, Jeff, he was great friends with Owen Hart. They were tag team champions. So he wanted like honor and prestige to happen within the tournament, and he thought Hangman didn't really represent that.
Oh, okay. Does it have anything to do with Jeff Jarrett being called the Last Outlaw and Hangman's character kind of being like a, well, I mean, I guess a hangman isn't an outlaw, they're a lawman, but he's kind of, he's like a Western character.
Unfortunately, no. But that would make sense, wouldn't it? You know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but no, they haven't told that story at all. Although they should. They should probably lean into that. I mean, the aspect that Hangman's gimmick is essentially a cowboy, you know? Like they should really touch on that.
Yeah, like Jeff, you know, an outlaw is who a hangman wants to hang. So,
Right. Yeah. So
yeah.
maybe we will get into that over the next 2 weeks, but yeah, as of right now, ball was fumbled on that story, I think.
Yeah, that'd make perfect sense.
Yeah. The only other thing from the show that sticks out to me is they announced the Casino Gauntlet will return at All In. You have an early pick?
I'll say Ricochet makes his debut and wins.
Yeah, I could see it. I could see Adam Cole returning from injury, winning. I could see Kenny Omega returning from injury. I could see Moxley returning. My early guess would be Moxley right now, just where everything stands. We'll see as we get closer if participants get announced or whatever happens there. I would say I'm a little disappointed they're running the gauntlet because out of the casino style matches that they've ran, the Battle Royal, the ladder, and the gauntlet is my least favorite. I like the Battle Royal the most. The ladder match is fun. It has its own dynamic, but I would imagine we're going to get Ricochet in this role too. I think the casino style matches have been great setting up debuts. I think this is definitely the spot where we see Ricochet.
Yeah, for sure. I'd be shocked if we don't.
Yeah. I mean, it just makes sense. We need to get them going. But I think one issue, I'm curious where you stand on this, is the winner's getting an AEW world title shot. So as of right now, within the last 2 months, we had the Owen Hart to get the world title shot. We had the Royal Rampage to get the world title shot. Now we're having the Casino Battle Royale or the Casino Gauntlet to get the title shot. So now we just had three things within the span of 2 months that are setting up for a world title match. All three of these things are handicapping the world title scene, and it's not going to let stories develop. I think this is an issue that they're kind of putting themselves in, is they're not going to let these stories breathe for the world title. When the next title challenger is lined up already immediately, you know, we're not getting proper stories. And you know, we have all kinds of titles in AEW. That's one thing a lot of people critique, is there's a bunch of titles. Maybe some of these things, the reward should be a different title shot. Maybe one's for the international title, maybe one's for the TNT title or the Continental title. I don't think everything needs to be compiled onto the world title.
Yeah, I mean, imagine you just had one Royal Rumble after another after another.
Right. It's like, it's just not good. They put themselves into a corner, but and it also kind of limits the believability of some people winning the title. You know, like Darby's got the Royal Rampage victory, so it's kind of we'll see who wins the Casino Gauntlet. But you know, if Adam Cole's the one that wins and he's waiting, it's kind of hard to believe Darby's gonna win the world title and then that's the direction we go that quick. So I just would like to see either more space or these go for different titles.
All right. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tag Teamers Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to like, comment, subscribe, leave a review wherever you're watching or listening. We will be back no later than Saturday with our recap of Friday Night SmackDown.